Good morning. Welcome to worship at Greystone Baptist Church. Greystone is a place where all are welcome. No matter who you are, no matter what you do professionally or in your spare time, there is a place for you to belong here, and we believe that we are better when we are all together for the worship of God. This morning is a little different than most mornings at Greystone. The 8:45 service, it will feel a lot like it always does, week to week. But at 11 o'clock, all are invited to come back for a totally different worship experience, which will be led by the North Carolina All-State Youth Choir. So they will be proclaiming the gospel in scripture and song, and we hope that you might come back and spend that extra hour with us today. Also, I see we're a little spread out, and that's okay. If you're more comfortable that way, stay in your place. But if you'd like to come and be closer to your family of faith, you're invited to move forward and snuggle in like we love each other during worship in this hour. In this season, we have been exploring the Gospel of Luke, specifically the 10th chapter, where Jesus is teaching on the road. Jesus is teaching about what it means to see and to hear the work of God in the world. Last week, we read the parable of the Good Samaritan, and we talked about what it meant to see our neighbors and to love our neighbors no matter who they are. And this week, we're going to enter into the home of sisters Mary and Martha, as Jesus does, and we're going to explore what it means to hear God speak. And so as we prepare our hearts to hear the word of God, we ask that the Spirit come in and open us heart, mind, body, and soul to the movement of God among us, around us, and within us. Let us worship God together.
Would you stand with me? Let's sing this song of praise. 10,000 reasons for my heart to find all the reasons to bless the Lord this morning. The sun comes up, it's a new day dawning. Let's worship the Lord together. The sun comes up, it's a new day dawn. It's time to sing my song again. Whatever may pass and whatever lies before me, let me be singing when the evening comes. So we sing, bless the Lord, O my soul. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Oh, Let's find our seat.
Let's pray together. Good and gracious God, we give you thanks this day for the opportunity to worship together as one body. With our different voices, we sing your praise. With our different gifts, we offer you our best. With our different life circumstances, we seek your fulfillment. On this day, as we gather, we are aware of so many shortcomings. The world that we are creating is far from your kingdom. The love that we share is not nearly as expansive as that which you have called us to share. The ways in which we serve our neighbors is only a small portion compared to what you have taught us. Forgive us of our shortcomings and have mercy enough to continue giving us glimpses of your kingdom alive and unfolding all around us. In our world so full of hatred and violence, remind us that yours is a way of peace. In our lives so full of loneliness, pain, and disappointment, remind us that you are our constant source of companionship and comfort and hope. In our faith so small and limited by our own understanding, remind us of your promise that faith can move mountains. Draw us near to you this hour. Revive our souls, renew our hearts, and restore our senses that we might leave this time of worship ready to see and ready to hear you more fully. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
I think some of our families with younger ones are probably going to stick around for the later service, I think, to hear the youth choir. So I want us to sing a hymn that I love. This Is My Father's World, I think, is probably one of my favorite hymns, certainly. You know, if you have Spotify or Pandora, there are certain songs you just play over and over again, and those kind of rise to the top every time you open the app. It's like, this is a song that you play all the time, and I'm going to keep putting it up there. Well, if there's a soundtrack of your mind, this is one of those songs. These phrases in this song, I think I repeat all throughout my Christian journey, through all the years. Though the wrong seems off so strong, God is the ruler yet. I think so many times I've claimed that in my life, and you have to. You look at what's going on in the news around the world or even in your own community, and you always have to claim that no matter how bad it seems to get, God will have the last word. The battle is not done, and Jesus who died will be glorified, and earth and heaven will be one. And I think that constantly puts life in perspective for me and keeps the big picture in front of me all the time. So I love this hymn, and that's why we're going to sing it this morning. And I hope that you'll join me in singing this. It begins with an expression of praise for our great Creator. When we look around and we see the world, to claim that that is God's handiwork, but that God will ultimately have the last word over wrong. So can we express this hymn of faith? And I'm just going to ask that we remain seated. And if you could sing parts, sing all the parts you can hear. Make them up, okay? We got a choir member up here. Come on, Carol. Well, you know, she's a sight reader, so she can read the parts. But if you can't, just make them up, okay? But with all of our voices in this room to claim this expression of faith, this expression of praise, let's sing together. This is my Father's world. This is my Father's world. And to my listening ears, all nature's things and round me rings the music of the spheres. This is my Father's world,
thou wonders wrought. This is my Father's world. The birds their carols raise, the morning light, the lily white, declare their Maker's praise. This is my Father's world. He shines in all that's fair. In the
change something. Let's stand for this last verse. Would you sing with me? And this is my Father's world. Oh, let me never forget that though the wrong seems oft so strong, God is a ruler. Sing it out now. This is my Father's world. The battle is not done. Jesus, who died, shall satisfy and earth and heaven.
Jesus,
who died, shall be satisfied.
Please pray with me. Father, we are so thankful this morning that you are rich in love and slow to anger, and that your heart is kind toward us. We are so blessed. Help us to open our hearts and our hands that we may serve each other and those around us who are in need of our help and your love. Bless these tithes and offerings so that we as a church might better follow your example of selfless love and service. In your name we pray. Amen.
A reading from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 10. And speaking about Jesus, we get these words. Now as they went on their way, he entered a certain village where a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. She had a sister named Mary who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to what he was saying. But Martha was distracted by her many tasks, so she came to him and asked, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to do all the work by myself? Tell her then to help me." But the Lord answered her, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and distracted by many things. There is need of only one thing, and Mary has chosen the better part, which will not be taken away from her." May God add understanding to the reading of the lesson. Thanks be to God.
A few years ago, I took a group of 55 adults on a pilgrimage through the Deep South, from Charlotte to Atlanta, Tuskegee to Birmingham, Selma, and finally to Memphis. We retraced the steps of Reverend Martin Luther King Jr., and in essence, we retraced the steps of the civil rights movement of the 1950s and 60s. This pilgrimage was the culmination of a year-long education series that I had created, and it was the first adult pilgrimage that we had tried as a church. Its primary goal, other than education, was to create opportunities for faith-based relationships to take root amongst our predominantly white congregation and the predominantly black congregation with whom we partnered. 23 from one church, 22 from the other. The trip was jam-packed with stops, with guided tours and educational experiences, but it was relational at its core. For 3 whole days before we left, I dedicated myself to writing a pilgrimage guidebook that would root each participant in shared stories and scripture and in song. And when everybody loaded the bus, I delighted as I watched new friendships form, people moving from seat to seat, introducing themselves with those common questions. "Hi, what's your name? Do you have any kids? What do you do?" I sat up front, right behind the bus driver, with my itinerary on the clipboard and my administrative assistant by my side. Together, she and I made sure that we would arrive at every destination on time, that everyone would have a meal when we stopped, and that everything was on track. It wasn't until Memphis, on the next to the last day of the trip, that I realized what I had been missing out on the whole time. It's because of this experience and a million others just like it that today's reading from Luke's Gospel makes me incredibly uncomfortable. On the surface, the story goes like this. 2 sisters, they host an important guest in their home. One sister does all the work while the other sits and spends time with the guest. The one working gets upset at the one who is, well, not helping out, and Jesus doesn't seem to care much about it. It's easy for us to understand how Martha feels. For many of us, it sparks similar emotions to how we might feel when we read the story of the prodigal son and we completely understand the older brother, the one who stays and does the necessary things, the right things, the work, the hard work, while the younger brother goes and lives his life amongst the pigs, literally. One remarkable thing about this story to me is that all the action, it takes place amongst the women. Here we are in the home of Mary and Martha. Martha welcomes Jesus and presumably all the other disciples. Martha gets to work preparing the food and the drinks. Mary reclines at Jesus' feet and listens. Even though we already know, most of us, how the story is going to play out, we know that Jesus is going to praise Mary's choice, but Martha is the one doing what would have been expected. When a guest entered an ancient home, the women got to work in the kitchen. That was their job. That was their role. That was the social code. Women were supposed to be involved in active service. But Mary chooses something different. She chooses not to engage in normal behavior. She will not cook. She will not serve the guest. Rather, she will sit at his feet and learn with the men. Well, about halfway through that pilgrimage I told you about, after a particularly painful museum experience in Selma, two of the other clergy on the trip, they interrupted the itinerary and they told me that we had to stop. We had to stop and to make time for conversation and for prayer. And all I could think about in that moment was the pause was going to delay us. It was going to put us off track. It might even prevent us from seeing one of those stops that was going to be very important later in the day. But when I took a moment to look up from my clipboard, I could see the faces of those who had been traveling with us. And when I could look up, when I saw their faces, I saw eyes swollen. I saw them red from crying. I saw anger and frustration. I saw a loss for words. You see, I was so distracted by my many tasks that I failed to see the people for whom I was working. And they were in pain. Martha does what so many of us do. She does what she was supposed to do. She does what she is expected to do. And she does what somebody needs to do, let's be honest. And because I can identify so easily with Martha, I love the quote from Lutheran priest Emmy Kegler, which is printed as your reflection for worship today. It goes like this. We should be cautious of reading condemnation of what Martha has chosen. Instead, we might step into a two-handed read of the importance of hospitality, both as charity extended toward the stranger, but also as space made for the self to sit, learn, and grow. For true discipleship, we need not only an open heart and mind, but also open hands to serve those in need, from whom we learn. Even in the revolution, she says, someone still needs to do the dishes. This story about the sisters in Luke is not an isolated episode in the gospel. It comes right on the heels of the parable of the Good Samaritan, in a section in which Jesus is teaching us about what it means to see and to hear. Earlier in the chapter, Jesus blesses his disciples for that work of seeing and hearing, and then Jesus himself encounters two characters who cannot seem to see or hear. First, the lawyer, and then the distracted sister. The lawyer, he's distracted by his mind. He's trying to understand the kingdom of God, to wrap his head around it. What he needs is to see, what he needs to see and hear is modeled by the Samaritan. Go and do. The sister, however, she's distracted by all of her doing. In fact, she's so aware of what needs to be done that she cannot sit and listen like Mary. The Samaritan and the sisters surprise us, and they challenge us to see and to hear the movement of God and God's call to discipleship, which is often beyond our expectations and opposite of status quo. Some of us may be more prone to action. We see needs in the world and we work hard to make sure that those needs are met. Sometimes that looks like local missions, volunteer work, tutoring, construction, serving in the church kitchen, or working on cleanup day. But others of us are better at the stillness of the spiritual life. We're good at worship and prayer and reading scripture and seeking greater understanding. And the beautiful thing is that all are needed and that each of us, we're called to step outside of our comfort zones from time to time. On the final day of that pilgrimage, when we were in Memphis, we were loading the bus, we were heading for home, and I realized I'd spent almost every waking hour of that trip consumed by the details. Where would we stop for lunch? Was everybody on the bus? Are we ready to go to our next stop? I'd been so distracted by those tasks, I wasn't present enough to make
even one new friend. I looked around as we hit the road, and I noticed new seating arrangements chosen by new friends. I saw smiles. I saw hands being held as we traveled and sang freedom songs together. I heard testimonies from fellow pilgrims about how a conversation with Tammy or Joyce or Bill or Walter had changed their perspective, and I couldn't help but notice a tiny bit of jealousy welling up within myself. There in Memphis, as the bus pulled away and all the work was really done, I realized that the heart of this pilgrimage, the very meaning of it all, it was playing out in story and song and scripture all around me. Because of, and sometimes in spite of, all of those necessary tasks that kept me so distracted. So I get it when Martha says to Jesus, "Do you not care? Tell her to help me." See, there's always work to be done, and there's always time to stop the work and to tend to our relationship with God and with others. There will be some of us who are more prone to one or the other, and it seems like Luke is trying to tell us that all of it is necessary, all of it is needed. The caution is, if we get too caught up in our favorite activity, be it going and doing or sitting and listening, we risk missing the stranger on the road to Jericho and the guest in our midst. This little reminder from Luke, it helps us find balance in our personal spiritual lives, but it's also a word for caution to the church. See, churches are made up of lawyers and Samaritans. Churches are made up of Marys and Marthas, and each of us work together to embody the fullness of Christ in our world, but we cannot forget it takes every single one. Here, through the duality of Mary and Martha, Jesus teaches us about the mission of the church and the necessity to keep it all in balance. As the body of Christ in the world, we're called to worship, yes, and we are called to serve, and there are times when those rhythms will be interrupted and we just have to adjust. Who knows what Mary and Martha were up to before Jesus knocked on the door? Maybe there was already soup on the stove. Maybe it was cleaning day, or maybe it was just a lazy Saturday. But Jesus interrupts with a knock on the door, and both sisters leap into action, Mary preparing the meal and Martha tending to the guest. And it's really important. Notice that Jesus doesn't actually take sides in the text. By refusing to get involved in the sisterly dynamic, Jesus affirms what Mary is doing, as outrageous as it may be. He affirms that she took her place amongst the disciples to listen and to learn from him. And Jesus affirms Martha's work, calling her out not because of her work, but because of her distraction, and probably with the bitterness that was welling up within her toward that sister. Jesus doesn't criticize her for doing the necessary work. He just refuses to shame Mary for not joining along. You see, all of us have a little Mary and a little Martha within us. And to be spiritually whole, we have to make time for listening and for serving. We need to engage in practices of prayer and worship that fill our souls and expand our understanding of who God is and how God is working in the world. And we need to share what we have with others. We need to go and do, working to know our neighbors and to love them like we love our own selves. We've got to be a little more like Mary. We've got to be a little more like Martha, and we've got to give ourselves grace when we tend too much in one direction. In the same way, this church, our beloved church, is both Mary and Martha. We worship and we pray together. We study scripture together. We gather around that communion table together, seeking God's presence and God's fulfillment. But we cannot stop there. We must also go out into the world with eyes to see our neighbors who are hurting. We must stand ready to offer a cup of water to those who thirst and a word of healing to those who feel broken and a community of solidarity to those who feel alone. So when we begin to look at those around us, maybe those who have chosen another part, chosen to sit or chosen to work, May we not grow bitter or angry, but let us recognize that it takes all of us, every single one, doing our part, stretching ourselves and working together to be the whole church that God is calling us to be, going and doing and sitting and listening, ever ready for holy interruptions to come in and challenge our posture. Amen.
Jesus teaches us to pray that what is in heaven might be found on earth. And I think in our best moments, that's our best prayer as well. And I think when we come to a time of commitment, that's what we're trying to ask of the divine, to make us more like what is found in heaven. This is a moment of commitment and a hymn that we could sing that will give us some of that language. Love divine, all loves excelling, joy of heaven to earth come down. And breathe, O breathe, thy loving spirit into every troubled breast. Let us make these words our commitment this morning as we move forward. Pastor Chrissy will be down front to welcome you if you have a need you'd like to share with her or a commitment you'd like to make publicly this morning. We welcome you. Let's stand as we sing.
Christ be with you.
And also with you.
Let us greet one another with God's peace.
So I'm going to ask that you sit down because I got a lot of things on the card. So it's a busy week at Greystone. UNIDiversity, the youth are going to be leaving tomorrow morning for a week at camp in Tennessee. So please be mindful of that and prayerful about that. Also, Vacation Bible School is not very far away. And so if you have a child who needs to come to Vacation Bible School, would like to come to Vacation Bible School, sign them up. There's a link on the church website. If you can donate some items, there's an Amazon wish list. Go to the church website. There's a link. If you can volunteer, There's a link. So please orient yourself to Vacation Bible School. Check out those links on the church website and be involved with that. The Leadership Council that is supposed to happen today has actually been rescheduled to August 4th. So the Leadership Council will be on August 4th. I hope you will come back at 11 o'clock for the All-State Youth Choir. We'll be presenting and leading us in worship. So perhaps you might want to come back after Sunday school and hear them. I would like to recognize Doug Cole, who is not the chair. He's from the interim minister search team. And so, Doug, if you'll come.
And that Mike refuses to rescind his letter of resignation. I'm here today on behalf of Cynthia Grisadek, Katie Lindsay, Lou Dawson, Bill Pendergrass, and myself. We are your search team for an interim minister of music. And today we are pleased to announce that we are recommending Dr. Chris Hare, that's spelled H-A-I-R-E, to serve as our interim minister of music. Dr. Hare is a native of Garner and resides in Cary. He received his undergraduate degree at UNC Chapel Hill, master's in church music at Southeastern Seminary, and a PhD in music education from UNC Greensboro. He has served as minister of music at Six Forks Baptist Church, Raleigh, Green Pines Baptist Church in Knightdale, First Baptist Church, Cary, and recently completed an interim at Westwood Baptist Church in Cary. He has also had denominational service through the Raleigh Baptist Association, the North Carolina Baptist Convention, and the Cooperative Baptist Fellowship of North Carolina. Our pastor joined us in the interviewing process, and other staff have met Dr. Hare as well. He is a winsome and highly qualified candidate, and we are delighted to recommend him to you. Other information will be emailed to you this week, and that information is also available in the church office. We are also announcing a called church conference on Wednesday night, July 31 at 6:30, for the purpose of acting on our recommendation. If approved, Dr. Hare will begin his service with us on August 1. Thank you.
Thank you, Doug. Exciting times here at Greystone, but also time for us to stop, to pause, and to say thank you and express our gratitude. And we will be doing that next Sunday following the 11 o'clock worship service. And it will be a time for us to say thank you to Mike for his leadership and for his ministry, for the grace that he has brought to this space and the joy that we have in knowing him and understanding his family. Watching Samuel and Kara grow, getting to know Katie, there's a lot of gratitude to be expressed. So we will do that next Sunday following the 11 o'clock worship service. You'll see some details in your bulletin about that reception. There will also be a love offering, so please take note of that. There's a lot that goes on in the life of this church, and I know that each of you are doing things to serve your community. As a church, we come together to support each other in that work. Because the work of discipleship is not easy and it's not something we can do alone. So please, be prayerful about your church, be prayerful for your community, and let us serve together.
Just to be clear, Doug's never called me winsome. So I expect that to come maybe next Sunday, Doug. Well, I think you, well, yeah, it doesn't, yeah, it goes beyond words. So I love you guys very dearly, and I think we're sent forth with this prayer that we can sing together. Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary for you. So let's go out into the world together as we stand and sing these prayerful words.
Tried and true, with thanksgiving.
we leave this sanctuary, this place of restoration and comfort and hope, let us go forth with this blessing. The Lord bless you and keep you. May God's presence always be alive within you, giving you the grace never to sell yourself short. Grace to risk something big for something good, and grace to remember that the world is now too small for anything but love and too dangerous for anything but truth. So may God take your hands and heal through them. May God take your feet and walk with them, and may God take your hearts and set them on fire. Amen.